I'd like now to welcome Duncan North. He is the creative director of Wild Earth Guardians and is here to talk to us about an upcoming event, which is the presentation of the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival this coming Thursday, November 20th from 7 to 9 at the Armory for the Arts. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. So what kind of films are in this film festival?
These are films made by amateur filmmakers who are concerned about the environment. And they are short films ranging from 3 minutes to 25, 30 minutes.
So amateur filmmakers are making, would you call, passable or more than passable environmental films these days?
Well, you know, that depends on your frame of reference. I think it's interesting that in the last few years, the global conversation has expanded to include amateur filmmakers because of the advancements in digital technology. You can make a very gorgeous, sumptuous film with a $1,500 camera, whereas 20 years ago it would have required a $50,000 camera. So there really are some beautiful films in the festival, and some of them are allegorical and others are more documentary style. But it's very interesting, and it's
and one has swimming dogs in it, I just have to say
one
that.
One has swimming dogs in it, yes. Everybody loves a wet dog, except the people who have
especially,
to smell it.
Especially on film, rather than on your lap.
Precisely.
But there's films, for example, one about two young dudes who basically got a vegetable oil-powered Toyota and drove it from Alaska to Chile to both kayak and demonstrate that vegetable oil-powered vehicles actually function.
Yes, that was perhaps my favorite film. They got a car that was a Japanese fire truck and converted it to run on biofuels. And wherever they are, they use the local biofuel with palm oil in one part of Central America. And
they used fish oil somewhere?
Fish oils. They started with salmon oil because
right.
They were started in the northernmost part of Alaska. And it's interesting, you know, the environmental movement represents many, many different types of individuals. And these guys are clearly passionate about the earth and passionate about kayaking, and it's not clear which they're more passionate about. But it's great that you can, you know, kayak up and down North and South America and make a movie about it and have it be pro-environment. It's simultaneously uplifting and hilarious.
And as are several of the movies in the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival. So where is the environmental movement at right now? As you say, it's more than one thing. It's a lot of different movements.
Yeah, it ranges. It's, you know, everybody has their different environmental issues. At Wild Earth Guardians, we're concerned about wild rivers and wild streams, wildlands, forests, wildlife. We're concerned about animals. We're concerned about climate change. Most environmental groups pick one of those issues to focus on. Obviously, climate change is getting the most publicity right now, and that is appropriate. It's interesting to me that both presidential candidates made climate change a premier part of their campaigns.
It is the sort of domino that knocks all the other dominoes down in the sort of ecosystem question of what is getting damaged.
It is. Though there's vigorous debate at Wild Earth Guardians about, you know, the importance of wildlife as well, and there will always be a very strong wildlife contingent among environmentalists, and of course your tree hugger, who loves trees and.
Right, but all of these things are affected by climate change, so.
There are climate change. I will have to concede that it is the overarching umbrella, because if we lose that battle, all the other battles are lost.
And so when you have Wild Earth Guardians, which is one of many environmental organizations in the West, in New Mexico, in the United States, how do they communicate? How do they work together and have the kind of synergies that make political change possible?
How do we work with other groups?
Yeah.
Well, mostly we like to, no, I was going to make a joke. I won't make a joke about wrestling for funds. I know we've worked with NIMWA on wolves. You know, it depends.
NIMWA?
the New Mexico Wilderness Association.
Oh, right.
And it depends when your interests intersect with another environmental group. I think there could be better coordination among groups, but I think there could be better coordination among nonprofits nationwide. My brother works for a coffee company that does free trade coffee, and I think that human-oriented nonprofits and environmentally-oriented nonprofits all should get together. As you and I discussed before, there should be sort of a broad spectrum so that you can address all of your issues at once. But I'm avoiding your question because I don't really know the answer about how we coordinate with other groups. I'm assuming it's through telephone and carrier pigeon.
We're talking to Duncan North of Wild Earth Guardians. Well, it does bring up a kind of philosophical question, which is something that I've been wanting to talk to you and others about, which is the purpose of the environmental movement to save creatures and save ecosystems for their own sake or for our sake as human beings?
That is a very, very good question. And
I can only ask that to another St. John's person. No, that's not true.
Well, I'll give you a St. John's answer. As Nietzsche said, we all create our reality. There's always interpretations. And we don't, or to quote Schopenhauer, we don't want a thing because we found good reasons for it. We find good reasons for the things we want. Clearly, there are many environmentalists who are motivated by the urgency and the pressing needs of environmental issues. And there's one woman who works at, well, everyone who works at Wild Earth Guardians feels this way, but one in particular is passionately devoted to saving our wildlife. And others, I think, do it because they didn't get to sit at the popular table in high school. That's why I'm an environmentalist, is because I couldn't find friends, and they took me in and gave me shelter. But it depends. It varies from every environmentalist. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why does somebody go into acting? Some of them do it for attention. Others do it for the great paycheck. And others do it because they enjoy waiting on tables. There's not one answer that covers.
Yeah, I mean, I think though it's an interesting question to contemplate because, you know, does every species have a right to exist for its own sake? Which I think bothers a lot of people who feel that the human need to use resources and to use them carefully and for our own benefit and for our economic benefit really outweighs the right of some little spider species or whatever to have a habitat. And well, then on the other hand, you can make the argument, and many people do, that when you start messing with ecosystems, human life eventually gets really compromised and endangered itself.
Well, there is that whole web of life theory that if you start pulling out pieces of an engine, then eventually the engine breaks down and we all suffer. There's two different religious perspectives. You know, in Genesis, God gives man dominion over the animals, but in Noah Ark story, we're supposed to be custodians of the earth and the animals. I tend to think of humans as animals as well, and I see us as part of it.
I can see the argument for that.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's difficult to say. I'm certainly not the one to answer the question. I would say that everything should exist for him or herself, whether it's a person or an animal or anything on the planet, with the exception of a Dallas Cowboy fan, should exist for themselves.
Dallas Cowboy?
Sorry, I'm still upset about 2 days ago. Never mind.
We're talking to Duncan North of Wild Earth Guardians. So what is Wild Earth Guardians working on right now? What are their areas of focus?
Well, there's the government gave permission to this coal mine in the Rocky Mountain National Forest to expand, which would emit 12 million tons of methane into the air on a regular basis. And we're fighting that. We're also trying to protect the sage grouse. We're working to protect wolves down in southern New Mexico who are being hunted and trapped. We're doing something and everything. We're doing a program that it's called Outstanding National Resource Waters. There's a small provision in the Clean Water Act that provides for the indefinite protection of our cleanest waters and the surrounding watershed. So we're trying to protect 5,000 miles of river in New Mexico, which would equal several million acres of forest through this provision of the Clean Water Act. So we're trying to do many things, and I believe in it.
5,000 miles of river.
5,000 miles of river we want to have designated as outstanding national resource waters. And by doing that, it would protect those rivers. in perpetuity, as well as the surrounding watershed. So it's actually a really terrific thing, and it's a loophole that I think the government didn't realize people could use, but that's what we do at Wild Earth Guardians. We try to find creative solutions for problems, and you can find us at wildearthguardians.org and
send us
some money and help protect thousands of miles of river and millions of acres of pristine forest.
So when you protect thousands of miles of river, it protects millions of acres. How does one translate into the other?
Well, because there's all the feeders to a particular river. Let's say you have a river. We'll call it River X. And it's fed by streams and creeks that can stretch out for 30, 40 miles and around it.
So when a river is protected, all the creeks feeding it get protected as
Precisely.
Well?
Precisely. All of the tributaries get protected. It's called the watershed. And by protecting the watershed that feeds the rivers, because if you think about it, it would be meaningless to protect a river without protecting the surrounding watershed. It would be like protecting your torso without protecting your legs. You sort of need them to get your torso around. That's a terrible metaphor. Let's just move on. But yes, by protecting a mile of river, you get protect a lot of forest as well. And
so you are the creative director of Wild Earth Guardians. What do you do? What's your job over there, and how is Wild Earth Guardians communicating through you and through its other means?
Well, we're making cartoons. We made a cartoon about the Outstanding National Resource Water Campaign with fish with big lips.
So this was, I actually saw this at an event that you guys sponsored. These very, very lovely young animators from a university in southern New Mexico did this animation as a way of helping you communicate what the issues are to the public.
They did. So these great guys from New Mexico State University, the Creative Media Institute, made this cartoon for us. And we're trying to loosen up. You know, as you told me before, there's not a lot of humor in the environmentalist movement.
What's up with that?
I don't know what it is. Again, I think it gets back to high school. I think high school is when our humor foundation is built. And really, a team of psychiatrists would have to be employed to tell us what happened to the sense of humor. But I think when you lose the comedy advantage, you lose on issues. When I think of the 70s, I think about all those irreverent National Lampoon campaigns and
movies. All the Abbie Hoffmans of the world who were taking political issues and laughing at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that the left has gotten just more uptight. I would blame...
Super earnest is another way of thinking about it.
Yeah, super earnest. And political correctness is the enemy of comedy. And I think when people started to get concerned about what you say and how you say it, and I'm not going to blame feminists, because if I did, people would get mad at me. But definitely...
How many radical feminist environmentalist vegans does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know. How many?
That's not funny.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
That was great. I wish I had said that. I've got nothing now. You've totally taken my...
The Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival is happening this Thursday, November 20th from 7 to 9 at the Armory for the Arts. For tickets, you can call the Lenzing box office at 988-1234. Duncan North is the creative director of Wild Earth Guardians. Any else you want to let people know before we go?
I just want to remind them that our website is wildearthguardians.org. And
the phone number over there is 988-9126.
Yes, and I'd just like to ask everybody to help us help you help the planet.
There we have it. Duncan North, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.